Let us turn again to the book of Exodus in chapter 20 and consider now verse 19, as the Lord may be pleased to help us. Verse 19 in Exodus chapter 20. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die. This is the people of God at Mount Sinai, the children of Israel at Mount Sinai. In one sense, they were the people of God, the people that God had chosen for himself to keep true religion alive in the world, but comparatively few of them, it would seem, were truly the people of God. Comparatively few of them were seeking to worship God and serve him. And their petition there in the midst of the thunderings and the lightnings, the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking, and all that was intended to display the majesty of God and the power of God, they were afraid of hearing God's voice directly. It was terrifying. Absolutely terrifying. And what they were asking for was a mediator, one to stand between them and God. That was their desire. But it does not seem to have been a godly desire. One could use these words, one could have them, the thought, and it would be a godly desire, but it does not seem to have been a godly desire in this case. It was to distance themselves from God, keep some kind of distance between themselves and God. They recognized that there is a God. They recognized that God had a right to speak to them, but let him not come too close. Let Moses stand between them and God and at second hand speak to them what he was going to say. So let us try to say something first of all about the sense the Israelites had that they were in a dangerous position. The sense the Israelites had that they were in a dangerous position. And then in the second place, they felt the need of a mediator. That's the second thing that I want to speak about. And you see, although there was so much wrong with the way the Israelites were expressing themselves, this can be transformed into something good. We can take up these words, or at least something of the idea that lies behind what they were saying. We should feel that apart from a mediator, a greater mediator than Moses, apart from a mediator, we're in a dangerous position. And we should be expressing our need of a mediator between us and God. Someone to stand between us and God. Someone to stand in the middle. That's what we need. Someone to stand in the middle between us and God. First then, the Israelites felt that they were in a dangerous position. They saw all the signs of God's miraculous power. And perhaps they were natural phenomena. Basically they were. But God was using them to make the Israelites feel his authority. And that what he was saying to them, in revealing the Ten Commandments as what he was expressing to them as how they should live. They're just as relevant to us. They don't come with these wonders. There's no thunder or lightning accompanying them when, let us say, the Ten Commandments are read in church. We don't expect to hear peals of thunder and see flashes of lightning. There's nothing of that. And yet they have the same authority. There's the same danger that we might feel. The same danger. Yes. You see, God has authority. God may not in the same outward way display his power and his right to punish sin and the fact that he will punish sin. That's in the situation we are in. We're in danger of God punishing us because of our sin. We're to take that seriously. That God is able and that God does punish sin. Yes, God's punishing of sin is very largely out of sight. It's beyond this life. It's in eternity. And therefore, people who reject the authority of God's word, they don't believe that they are in danger. They don't believe that. But it's what people are in danger of unless they will seek out a remedy, unless they will seek out a mediator. That's the position. Or that we would seek out a mediator. A mediator is available. God is revealing a mediator, and we'll come to that, God willing. But, you see, we are in danger. And the vast majority of people today are hiding from that. They put it out of sight. They reject it. They tell themselves they're in no danger. They tell themselves that there is no God. The children of Israel couldn't avoid having some sense of the existence of God. They might try to keep that sense away from them. They might try not to be influenced by it. They might try to forget it. But for all that, basically, they had to realize that God was in existence. Yes, they were saying, this great fire will consume us. If we hear the voice of the Lord our God any more, then we shall die. That's the feeling they had. And to some extent that was right. But they weren't making the right use of it. They were just trying to distance themselves from God. They were trying to keep away from God, to leave him in the far distance. The further away from God, the better, they would say. Oh yes, they were right in what they were saying about the mediator. They needed a mediator. But still, they just hadn't got it right. They hadn't got a proper understanding of their situation. Yes, the wages of sin is death. But whether the truth came to them directly by the voice of God, as they heard that from Mount Sinai, or whether it came to them through a mediator, through Moses, as the representative of God speaking on his behalf, the same truth applied. The truth was the same. Those who would not keep the commandments of God, they would die. If it wasn't sudden judgment in this world, it was the fact of eternal death, eternal punishment. Oh, let us be convinced of the danger that we are in if we do not seek a mediator in a right way, if we do not say, unless I find a mediator, I will perish forever and ever. Yes. Are we saying that? It's solemn truth that we have here. How are we going to live forever? Not in this world. But how is our existence going to go on with God's blessing? How are we going to continue in existence with God's blessing? We need a mediator that God has provided, a mediator who can do something to deliver us from the wrath to come. That's what we need. Yes. You see, we should take into account the standard that God has set. You see, they had just heard the Ten Commandments, and well, we could go through them all. I'm not going to do so on this occasion, but let us start at the beginning just now. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Did they understand what the significance of that was? How easy it is to treat someone else or something as a god, to give it our heart. See, that's the thing. What should be our relationship with God? The one God. He's to have all our heart and soul and mind and strength. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart. Do we love God with all our heart? That's the thing. And it's worth asking ourselves if that is the case. Worth asking ourselves seriously. Do I love God? That's the first thing. Break it up. Break up the question. Do I love God at all? That's the first thing. But people might say that quite readily. But then, go a bit further. Do I love God wholeheartedly? That's the standard. And it's God that is setting the standard. Do I love God with all my heart? Am I wholehearted in my love for God? Am I wholehearted in my willingness to keep his commandments? And to love God not only in an outward way, not only to do the things that I should do to an extent, not only to speak in a way that is in accordance with the commandments, to an extent, do I love him with all my heart? That's what we should be asking. That's how we should be questioning ourselves. And you see, if we can't say yes to such commands, to such questions, well, there's something wrong. We're sinning. We're doing wrong against God. You see, there's right words for particular situations. There's right words. And yes, you might speak of going wrong in the way you deal with your with other people. But even there, you have to bear in mind that you are going wrong in relation to God. You are going wrong in relation to God. Even if it seems just to be someone else that is involved. Even if it seems that it has nothing to do with God. It has. And when you bring God in, when you think of God, it is sin. And sinners need to be restored. Sinners need to be brought back to God. And if they are to come back to God, they need a mediator. We need a mediator. Unless there is something, unless I should say, there is someone, unless there is a mediator, to put things right between us and God, we're lost. We're lost forever. We need a mediator. Yes. And whatever, however far we might go in appearing to keep God's commandments, we're coming short. We're sinning unless we keep them perfectly. Not only in an outward way, not only in what we say, but in the way we think. God takes to do with the way we think. Now, in relation to the law of the land, nobody can take to do with you because of what you think. Sometimes people might try to do that. But you see, most people, most of the time, realize that you can't be hauled before a court of the land for thinking in a way that doesn't conform to the general way that people think in the country today, whether that's right or wrong, according to the proper standard, which is the Word of God. But you see, when we come to this, when we come to our relationship to God, our thoughts matter. The way we think matters. Our attitudes matter. And particularly, our attitude to God, particularly how we think, whatever it is, are we loving God with all our heart? That's the fundamental standard. That's what God thinks of. And that's how we should think. Whatever God says, whatever God demands, that's what we should conform to. But we need to be put right. We can't put ourselves right. We can't get rid of our sins, whether they are outward or purely inward. Yes, we need God. and we need a mediator. Yes. And you see, when Adam and Eve went wrong at the beginning, they went wrong in their thinking. They went wrong in their attitudes. So they were wrong. They had fallen. They had fallen into sin. And that's the way it's been ever since. We all come into this world as sinners. But it's as we mature that we are capable of active sin. It's as we mature. Now, when that really takes place in the life of a little human being, I'm not going to determine that. But you see, the child that is born isn't capable of outward sin. But there comes a stage in that person's life, there has come a stage in our life when we began to sin. When we began consciously to sin even. When it comes to this, that we should be saying, I need to be put right. I need to be put right, and I need a mediator. Now, I know that's a big word for a little child, but it may be that the child needs to think in very simple terms or be taught in very simple terms, but we need someone to stand between God and us. That's one of the first lessons in spiritual things. It should be one of the first lessons we learn. I need someone to stand between me and God. And you see, in particular with Adam and Eve, we know that taking the forbidden fruit, that was a sin. That was something they were explicitly warned against doing. And they did that. They sinned. They disobeyed God. But see them, when God appears in the garden and they try to run away from God and hide themselves from him, they were sinning. What was wrong? How were they sinning? They were not loving God with all their heart and soul and mind and strength. They were not loving God. There was a defect. Well, it was away. It had been destroyed. The love they had for God, perfectly, it was all-hearted love in the beginning. And then the devil got in and they were deceived. And there was no love left. They no longer loved God. They needed to find a mediator. Let us be asking for a mediator. That we would find a mediator. That we would make use of the mediator that has been provided. Yes. And then we might think of sinners at the end. And it is, and we see that and we can apply it to the end of the world and the day of judgment. We can apply it to the sinner passing into eternity. And what they're saying is, saying to the mountains and to the hills, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne. The one who has authority, the one who has power. And they're asking to be hidden from God. Keep us away from God, you see. That's it again. They're in their final state. And they must That's their great desire. There's no love there. Hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne, the one who has authority. And the one whose authority I cannot break. The one whose authority I cannot escape. But the authority is there. Hide me from it. And who would do that hiding? Well, the best they can come up with is, let the hills and the mountains and the rocks hide me. Will they? Can the mountains or the hills or the rocks hide one from the great God of eternity who made all things? And if he made the eye, can he not see, as you have in Psalm 94? Can he not see? Can God not see? Can God not see into our hearts? This evening, not this evening, but this morning itself. Can God not see into our hearts and see how far gone we are, what sin there is in our souls, how much we need to be put right, how much we need to be saved? Yes, how much we need a mediator to reconcile us to God. Yes, and we read that God, that the Lord himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. See, all these things intended to make us feel the authority of God. All these things at Mount Sinai were intended to make the Israelites there feel the authority of God. And all these things at the end of the world intended to make the ungodly, those who are still ungodly, to make them feel the authority of God. And we might think of Felix just briefly. Felix, and Paul was speaking to him of righteousness and of judgment, of temperance, living a sober life, and not just in relation to alcohol, but to be sober, to be restrained in every way. And he didn't like it, his conscience didn't like it. And he says, go thy way for this time. Paul, go away. Don't disturb me. I want to live a quiet life. I don't want to feel the eye of God. I don't want to feel that he is seeing me and seeing me through and through. And something of that the Israelites had. Trying to distance themselves from God. That's what Felix was trying to do. And that's what many another one has been trying to do. Is that the way with you? Are you asking God to stay away from you, not to disturb you, to leave you in peace? Ah, what an awful prayer. Wanting God to leave us in peace, to leave us to our sins. How dangerous. And if God leaves us in peace in this world, he will certainly not leave us in peace in eternity. We need to be disturbed. Not that that's all. Not that we're to stop there. We need a mediator. But let us go on to that. They felt the need of a mediator. Yes. And God was in various ways showing to Israel what a mediator would, well, I could just say just now, what a mediator would look like, what a mediator would do. And one thing was pointing them to Moses. Moses as a prophet, and that's basically what the Israelites were asking for. that Moses come before them on behalf of God, in the place of God. See, what's a prophet? You could say a prophet is somebody who foretells the future. Well, that's not the basic idea in connection with a prophet. Prophet is somebody that comes to human beings and speaks to them on behalf of God. And that's what Moses was going to do. But the Lord went further when he spoke of another prophet. Yes, Moses. And he showed them Moses as a prophet, coming before them, as to put it in the words of the children of Israel, coming before them as a prophet on behalf of God, coming before them to speak to them on behalf of God. But I will raise up another prophet, God was saying, like to Moses. He would have another prophet, and we can find that explained in the New Testament explicitly, even if we weren't able to work it out, that the prophet, like unto Moses, was Jesus Christ. There was to be another prophet. And he wasn't to be just a prophet, but he was to stand between God and sinners. He was to stand between God and sinners and reconcile them to God. Now, we need Jesus Christ as a prophet. We need him as a mediator. We should be feeling our need of being reconciled to God. How can that take place? Yes, but Moses himself was no ordinary prophet. God was speaking to through God was speaking through various prophets. He revealed himself to them in a dream or a vision. Not so Moses. The Lord was speaking face to face with Moses. Whatever exactly that points us to, it points us to a very close relationship with Moses. God came very close to Moses. But you see, we can go a step further still. There's Christ as a prophet. Christ who teaches. Christ who is in perfect communion with the Father, who was, and remember, we are speaking about Christ here as not only God, but man, or not only man, but God, as the God-man. And there was that closer relationship between God and Moses, closer relationship between God and Christ than there was between God and Moses, close and all as that relationship was. That was close, but how close. Existing together in the Godhead, yes, not with a human nature till he came into the world in the fullness of time. But how close that was. How close. Yes. God's fellow. As you have that in Zechariah. One who was the same. Equal in power and glory, using that form of words. Yes. And why? Why did he come into this world? He came to be a mediator. He came to stand between sinners and God. He came to do everything that was necessary so that sinners might be saved. Are you feeling your need of such a mediator? Are you? Are you feeling your need of such a mediator? That you would have one to stand between you and God. You a sinner. You guilty. You in danger of eternal punishment. Where will you find a mediator? That was the Israelites' question. Or they were going to provide one themselves. Who could be better than Moses? And that was true up to a point. But you see, Moses couldn't die for them. Moses couldn't suffer for them. Moses could be a prophet. But that's basically as far as it went. They needed one who could die for them. Yes. You see that great sense that you find in the book of Job. If there be an interpreter, one among a thousand, to show unto man his righteousness, the righteousness of God, or uprightness is the word, then he is gracious unto him and saith, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. Were the children of Israel going that far? They were going so far. They had some sense of their need of a mediator. But we, with the fuller knowledge of what God is, who God is, and of the work he has done, the provision he has made of a mediator, there is a prophet. There is Christ as a prophet. Not just a Moses, but Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who took out nature. Are we hearing him saying in the gospel, deliver him from going down to the pit. Deliver that sinner. I have found a ransom. There's the gospel. There's the provision. We're sinners. And sin deserves eternal punishment. But there is the provision of salvation. There is the provision of immediate. And God is saying, if only we will believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, if only we will trust in him, the Lord is saying, deliver him. Deliver him from going down to the pit. Deliver him from a lost eternity. Deliver him from eternal destruction. There he is, he's believing. He has received blessings for the sake of the mediator. That's it. That's what ministers are to proclaim. There is a mediator. God has provided the mediator, and whosoever will believe in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. There's a mediator who truly can save. That's the good news. There was what disturbed the Israelites. That is what should disturb us. If we're still in our sins, if we're still bearing our own sins, if the curse of a broken law is upon us. But you see, Christ is shown to us. The mediator is revealed. There's a provision for sinners. Oh, will you not take it yourself? Will you not go to Christ with your sins? Will you not say from the bottom of your heart, will you not say wholeheartedly, God, be merciful to me, a sinner? Yes. And if you are saying that in dependence on God's grace and independence in the work of the great mediator, then he will say, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. Oh, is God not saying indeed, I have provided a ransom. I have provided what sinners need. There's a way of escape. Yes. And you see the Lord saying, oh, that there was such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always. Oh, that this would be true of the Israelites. Oh, that this would be true of the people of Inverness at whatever set of people you think of. Oh, that this would be true of them from the heart. Well, how are we to react to that? Oh, for the sake of the mediator, that I would have a true seeking spirit. Oh, that I, for the sake of the mediator, the one who died in the place of sinners, oh, that I would be looking for the saving work of God in my heart, the saving work of the Holy Spirit. Oh, that I would be drawn by Almighty power. Oh, that I would be put right. Yes, for the sake of the mediator. Oh, grasp that. Stretch out the hand of your soul. There's a provision. There's a suitable provision. Stretch out the hand of your soul and take Christ, who is able to save to the uttermost all who come into God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession. There's a way of salvation. A mediator has been provided. There's hope. There's hope for sinners. You see the words in Hebrews, ye are not come unto the mount that burned with fire, but to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling. There's an effect of salvation. It's not to Mount Sinai that speaks of God's law and God's punishment for the breaking of his law, but we're to come to the mediator that God has provided. There's a way of salvation provided. We need not perish. There's everlasting life provided. Oh, how suited is the call, suited to us in our sins. How suited is that call of Christ. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Yes. He is calling to us. You see, let me stress this in the context that having proclaimed the law, and then how is there to be deliverance from the punishment due because of breaking the law? It's this, that an altar of earth thou shalt make unto me, and shalt sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings, and thy peace offerings, thy sheep and thine oxen. In all places where I record my name, I will come unto thee, and I will bless thee. God coming to sinners, saying, I'm willing to be reconciled on the basis of sacrifice. You see, that was been taught in the Old Testament, and it's been taught to us. It's not the sacrifices of sheep and bullocks and rams. It's the sacrifice of Christ, which could really take away sin. That's it. And let us think in connection with sin and our need of being delivered from the power of sin. Let us think of the provision that God has made. I've spoken of the provision of a mediator. Well, the provision of a sacrifice. And it's the sacrifice of the mediator. It's the mediator giving himself up to die in the place of sinners, coming between the sinner and God. That's great. As a sinner. And then you have this. You have many a thing in the Word of God, but there's this. Christ coming between a guilty sinner and an avenging God, and he dies instead of the sinner. There's a mediator. Oh Lord, we might say, wilt thou not put the mediator, the one who died, wilt thou not put him between me and thee? Not to distance myself from thee, but that I might be brought near. That's it. When we're coming and asking for the mediator to come between us and God, what we should have in mind is, so that I might be brought near, so that I might be reconciled to the God against whom I have sinned. Well, we better leave it at that just now. And may the Lord bless his word to us. Let us pray. Have mercy, Lord. Take each of us under thine own loving care. May we feel the power of thy truth. May we feel what is said about the mediator. Lord, take us under thine own loving care. Look upon us in our need. Look upon us as sinners. And look upon the mediator that thou hast provided. Grant to bring us and thee together. Reconcile us to thee. Put the mediator between us and thee, that we might be reconciled, that we might be brought near. Oh, do wonderful things. Grant us thy blessing. Pardon us and keep us, and deliver us from all evil. Grant us thy blessing. That is a wonderful salvation. May we grasp that, and may we worship thee, and may we have thy blessing for time and eternity. Go before us now, go before us always. May we get good from meditating on the mediator. May we have Christ as our Saviour. May we be dependent upon him. Grant to do wonderful things in our hearts. Grant that we might be pleading with thee, and that we might be well pleased with Christ, and that we would take him as a mediator suited to us in our need. Pardon us and bless us and keep us. Do us good, for Jesus' sake. Amen.